Good morning. Well, today's a great day, isn't it? Every day is a good day. And today, you can see the title of the sermon is Celebrate Good Times. I mean, that's what we are here to do today, is to celebrate good times. You know, I'm terrible at celebrating. I don't know if any of you guys feel that way, but I feel I am terrible at celebrating. It seems to be that I tend to want to just go on to the next thing, right? No matter how good things are, you don't take the time to celebrate. And I think as a church, we do the same thing. We don't take the time to celebrate the way we need to celebrate. Anybody else agree? I mean, I think also in our own personal lives, I know I don't celebrate the things I should celebrate. I tend to push on and just keep going forward. It tends to be just the type of person I am that once you accomplish something, you, yeah, okay, good, and you move on to the next thing. But we need to slow down a little bit and actually celebrate the good times. And so what we're going to do over these next few weeks is do exactly that. As we approach Easter, we're going to focus on Jesus' final days. And during this time of focused on Jesus' final days, we're going to look at his last words, his last actions, and the teaching of Jesus during this time, when things actually slowed down. Now, I don't know about you, but last weekend was an amazing weekend here at Our Savior's. And to talk about celebrating, I think we need to celebrate something that happened here. Last weekend, we had a gentleman by the name of Bobby Owens come to join us. He was a homeless man who showed up on Sunday morning last weekend. And the story of what happened there is something we need to celebrate as a congregation. As we think about this idea of us living the love of Jesus each and every day, it was an amazing thing that happened as Bobby showed up. And some of our ushers, Frank and others, were the first to contact with him. And he had with him a bunch of luggage and bags and stuff that he had. And he came here and started talking about the fact that he was homeless. And they asked me to sit down and talk with him. And, you know, my first inclination was, oh, I can't do it. I got service. I got to get my mind right, right? And I went, okay, because that's the natural reaction most of us have if we're honest with ourselves, right? We got things we got to do. Well, I broke away and I went and spoke with him. And it was an amazing thing that God did. This was a gentleman who had been homeless since June of last year. He had a place and just had a lot of hard luck that happened that he lost his place. Then he got involved in drugs, but the last 6 months he was clean, and he did it on his own without rehab or anything. And he was here saying, I just want to get home to Tennessee. And so what we did was we actually bought him a ticket to go home on Monday morning. But that wasn't where it stopped. That was a great thing there. Members of the church here actually took him out to lunch after service. And then others encouraged him to come to CIC, which is Christians in Commerce, on Monday morning. And guess what? He shows up. The men of CIC actually took an offering for him to give him money so that he had money to actually eat on during his two-day trip on the bus home. And one of the men said, well, I'll take him out to eat afterwards today. And they decided to stay with him and make sure he got to the bus station and drove him to the bus station and made sure he got on the bus to head home. I mean, that is truly living the love of Jesus, is it not? And this congregation is the ones who actually did that. And I think we need to celebrate that this morning. That's why I bring it forward, because this is what we're about, is those type of things, is recognizing someone in need and actually helping them out. And what a great thing we did that day. And I know there's other stories that we could highlight, but that's just one I want to highlight this morning as we talk about celebrating good times. I mean, we tend to not want to slow down and do that, right? I mean, even as I was preparing my message for today, I thought to myself, do I really want to take the time to talk about that? But we need to. We need to slow down. We need to slow down and take things in a little bit more. We need to slow down and listen to what God is saying. We need to slow down and see what's really happening in our lives. And that's where we find ourselves during this last week of Jesus' life. It seems like everything just slows down. I mean, it tends to happen that way in tragedy, doesn't it? tragedy or accidents, things seem to slow down. I don't know if many of you have experienced something like that, where suddenly you're in an accident or something, it seems like everything is slow, so clear, but it slows down almost into slow motion. It's called mental mobilization. I learned that actually last weekend at the training I was at. That when trauma happens, when an accident happens, when something serious takes place, everything seems to slow down, but it doesn't. Now, I think of the $6 million man when I think about that, right? You guys remember that? Every time he did something, it was in that slow motion sort of movement, right? But it was actually happening in real time. That's what almost it feels like when this mental mobilization happens. The tragedy begins to happen and everything slows down. I remember once when I was a lot younger, I was driving a car in Minnesota and I was rushing through with my friends in the car, of course, rushing through a parking lot, probably a little faster than what I should have been going. And I hit some ice suddenly. And suddenly the car was sideways, sliding sideways towards a light pole in the middle of the parking lot. Everything seemed to slow down. I mean, I remember to this day almost every noise, every little bit of what I was seeing, everything that was happening. And as I turned into it, which you're supposed to do on ice, right? You turn into the, I'm praying, you know, at the time I wasn't, but I'm praying now. Praying that I wasn't going to hit this thing. And suddenly at the last moment, the tires gripped and I went right around it and just barely missed the pole. But I remember it so vividly right now. I remember it because my mind sort of went into a heightened awareness at that point and it captured every single moment as if it was slow motion. And in fact, I remember it in slow motion. How many of you have had something like that happen in your lives? See, almost all of us can raise our hands and say that we've done that as well. I mean, it happens in real life, slow motion. It starts to slow things down. Well, the amazing thing is in our Gospels, that actually is happening in our Gospels. Fully one-third of the Gospels are devoted to Jesus' final week. One-third. It's as if everything slows down for that period, and everything is captured in unbelievable detail. Tragedy that happens during this week slows down. The pace of the event of those apostles that are there at that time, of their evangelical writing, it all slows down and is expanded upon like never before. And so what we're going to do over these next weeks leading up to Easter is we're going to slow down as well. And we're going to slow down and take a look at Jesus' last days and what really happened there. Because the gospel writers slowed down, we're going to slow down as well. And this time period becomes very intense. I mean, think about it. Jesus dies. He gives his life up. And the tragedy of Jesus' death, though, it brings great celebration with it. So as we're prepping for this time, we're going to prep just like they did. They were prepping for Passover, returning with a clear purpose that is where we want to start as well today. Understanding the clear purpose of what Jesus was doing during his one last life and week on earth. Here's what we read from Matthew 21. It reads, "As Jesus and his disciples approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, 'Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there, with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, tell him that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away.' This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. 'Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey.'" I mean, see, when we think about this, when we know this story of Jesus entering Jerusalem on this Palm Sunday, which I know you're thinking, why are we talking about Palm Sunday today? Well, we are because this is a great celebration of his final week. I mean, this is a huge celebration that is starting to take place as Jesus enters Jerusalem on his final week. And this is a party that is happening. I mean, if you think about parties, most of us can relate to parties and planning for parties. Most of us can relate especially to wedding parties, right? I mean, they take a lot of preparation, don't they? I mean, how many of us have prepared for weddings in our lives? Most of us have. But I remember my wedding, and this was not it, but weddings take a lot of preparation, right? Mine was in Minnesota. It wasn't on a beach. And in fact, when I was preparing for it, I can't say I actually prepared for it. Cheryl was the one who did that. I was the guy who was like, well, I'll just show up, right? But even though that's the case, I know there was a lot of preparation that went into it. A lot of planning went into it. And if you talk to a lot of brides nowadays, maybe even grooms, there's well over a year worth of planning that are going into some of these weddings nowadays. Well over that. I mean, lots of planning goes into planning these great parties. It's almost crazy how much effort we put into it. But we do it, why? Because we want it to be right. We want to make sure that everything happens perfectly. And we want to make sure that the venue and everything looks just beautiful and ready to go. See, it's amazing, though, that we think that a year is a long time for this preparation to happen. But those words that we just read from the prophet Zechariah, they show the preparation that was happening for this celebration of Jesus coming into Jerusalem. See, again, what it says is this from Zechariah: "Rejoice greatly, O daughters of Zion. Shout, daughters of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." See, these words of a prophet were given actually over 500 years before Jesus comes on the scene. And Ephesians chapter 1 says that before the creation of the world, that God already had a plan and had planned it all out. The plan of salvation of Jesus is the fulfillment of that plan. And the words of the prophet, they're like an invitation that was sent out ahead of Jesus ushering in this great party that they are about to have. But here's the coolest thing of all. Jesus may be the guest of honor of the party as they are praising him as he comes in, but do you know why the party is happening at all? See, that party is for you and for me. That party is actually about us. You and I are the reason for that celebration of why they are celebrating so much. That party is about you and me. It's about us, because Jesus is ushering in that final week where he is coming to save you and I. And it is not just about saving us, but it's about what he has already prepared for us. See, John 14, we read these words: "In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am." I mean, aren't these amazing words when you really think about what it says? I prepare a place for you, he says. You will be a guest of honor because I am preparing that place for you. But see, it's not a party yet. He says, "I'm preparing a place for you. The party is about you and our salvation." That's what this whole party is about. Scripture defines it as a wedding party as well. He says that this is the case. And actually, Revelation 19, we read these words: "Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory, for the wedding of the Lamb has come." See, this is a great celebration, and the people know it. Weddings are wonderful because they're special. And one thing I've come to know is that at weddings, something always goes wrong, though. Something always does. I always tell couples when I've done weddings in the past, I always say, something will go wrong, but we are the only ones who will know it goes wrong. Continue to just move on, push past it, and just know that people won't notice it, and at the end, people will come up to you and say, "That was the most beautiful thing I'd ever seen." Every once in a while, though, there is problems that are insurmountable. I had a wedding once where it was on a beautiful golf course, and I had my folder in front of me, and right as the bride and groom started coming down the aisle, it started to pour rain. No one expected it. We pushed through it as my book got all wet. The ink started to run. But guess what? We went through it. It was insurmountable. It wasn't a great day. But at the end of the day, they were married. And guess what people said to us? That was beautiful. The way you pushed through it. You guys really love each other that you just wanted to continue to go with it. See, it's amazing how when that happens that, yes, there are things that happen in our lives that we need to push through at times. And sometimes things go wrong at a wedding. And we know that on Palm Sunday, as he's ushering in Palm Sunday here, we know that there is going to be a tragic turn away from this great party that's happening. That the way that the people want it to happen aren't going to actually happen as they might want it to be. But right after this great celebration, there's going to be a huge tragedy. But there is a great celebration happening. As we read from Matthew, it continues on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of them and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." See, Jesus at this point was receiving the highest praise, the adulation of the people that were there in front of him. In fact, the religious leaders looked at Jesus and said, "Look what you're seeing. Don't you realize that they're singing praises to you?" And Jesus replied by saying, "If they don't sing my praises, the rocks themselves will cry out in praise." I mean, you realize that the people, they get the importance of this moment. The word Hosanna actually means what? Save us. They're shouting out to Jesus to save us because they understand the importance of this. And there is a huge celebration because their Savior has come. And they believe that this is going to be it, that Jesus is going to save them. Hosanna, save us, is what they're saying. There's an old story of a daughter who's allergic to bees. And she's driving with her dad down the road, and suddenly a bee flies into the car. And as they're driving down the road, the daughter is flipping out because, you know, she doesn't want to get stung because she's so allergic. She knows that if she does, it's going to be tragic. And she's flipping out, and suddenly the father reaches out and catches the bee in his hand. And after a few moments, he releases the bee. And the daughter is like sitting there going, "What the heck is going on? Dad, why, if you caught the bee, why would you release it?" And she starts freaking out again until the father actually extends his hand and shows her that he let the bee sting him, knowing that then the bee couldn't sting her. The father had taken the sting for the daughter. See, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, that is exactly what Jesus does for you and for me. He takes the wounds in his hands and his feet and pours out his blood to bring you and I salvation so that we don't have to endure the pain. But it's not what the people expect. See, the people cheering him on at that time, they expected something totally different. They wanted their own empire. They wanted their own government. They wanted their own plans. And that is why they were calling out to Jesus. They wanted their own lives restored to the old times, to the good times, to be restored to the times when they thought they were going to be living as they thought they were supposed to be for years and years. They wanted that good old time to come back. But Jesus, he was ushering in something that was different. They wanted Jesus to restore the good old days, but that's not what Jesus came for. Jesus came to create a new creation. 2 Corinthians shows us this as well. As it says in 2 Corinthians, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come." The thing about this new creation is that it's not just about you and me or just about people. I mean, this new creation is everything. Jesus has ushered in a new creation that takes into everything around us is a new creation. In fact, Revelation 21 says that I am making everything new. So the whole creation is getting ready for a magnificent celebration. A celebration that was observed on that first Palm Sunday, yes, but on one that is celebrated every Easter as well. But not just every Easter, as Carrie said at the beginning. We have the opportunity to celebrate it every Sunday. Every Sunday, as we hear God's word and receive his sacraments here as well, we come together to celebrate Jesus and this new creation that he has given us. It's a celebration that comes to fulfillment not on Easter 2018, but a celebration that comes to fulfillment when we stand before our Lord and Savior and he throws his loving arms around us and he says, "Well done, good and faithful servant." It is a celebration that comes to fulfillment when he returns as well in the clouds. And we are received with him on that glorious day when he returns. And he takes us to that place that he has prepared for us. See, as we think about that, and we move into this Lenten season towards Easter, I want to give you two things that you can actually do to get ready. The key thing is to remember that Jesus is coming again. That Jesus will return. And so two things that you can do to get ready is this. One, you can fast, and two, you can pray. You can do one of these two, or you can do them both. For prayer first, I'll talk about that. What you can do is actually pick up one of these that is out on the table in the right across the fellowship area there. And you can see that it's actually Seek God for the City for 2018. It's actually 40 days from Palm Sunday to Easter of actually devotions each day. They take just a few minutes. If you can't use the book, you can use your mobile app. You can actually download this if you just seek for this and search for that. You'll find it. It's free online. You can actually load it on your phone, as I have done, that you can use it each day. Praying each day, finding 5 minutes just to pray. And understand that God is coming back again. I mean, the other thing you can do is do some kind of fasting. And please, check this out with your doctor before you do it, if you're going to go with a complete fast for a number of days. But if you don't want to do a complete fast, you could do some of the just short-term fasting of taking one thing away for the 40 days. I'm trying to decide what it is, but it's either going to be sweets or bread I'm going to take away for 40 days. Bread? Thank you. You hear that, Cheryl? Bread. So you got that? But I'm going to do that so that every time I have that craving for it, I can remember, though, what Jesus sacrificed for me. That's the purpose of taking it away. So that every time you go through these 40 days and you want some bread or sweets or whatever, that you can actually say, okay, I remember what Jesus did for me, and therefore I can do that as well. It's profound to actually see how much you think about Christ when you're craving something and how much it brings it to mind. See, those are just two simple ways that you can prepare for this great celebration that we can do. But also, as you pray, add this to your prayer, just 2 seconds. And can you say this with me? Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. The reason is because when we pray intentionally and remember that Jesus is coming back, it tends to change the way that we live. See, Jesus wasn't just a great man who lived at one time. Jesus is not our Savior who is just with us today. Jesus is our Savior who promises to return again. And instead of focusing on all the struggles and the things of this life that helps us remember that our Savior is not only with us, we have to remember that he promises to come back. And that can make some of us uncomfortable. That he's coming back, and the reason he's coming back is he's coming back for you and for me. He's coming back for each one of us. See, meeting Jesus is something that some of us don't really want to do. Because when we think about meeting Jesus, we know that it involves death of some kind. And it's not a comfortable thought for many of us. I remember a friend of mine had a surprise party one time when suddenly she showed up to the house that the party was at. They all yelled out surprise, and she came back from the gym and was just all ugly and, you know, as you do, sweaty and smelly. And she thought, this is ridiculous. I have a surprise party, a great surprise party, and I'm just a mess. But you know what? That's how we approach the party that God has for us sometimes. We are full of dirt and maybe of mess and stink and flaws. We're dirty and we think that God can't give us that party right now. We bring this celebration that it doesn't feel very comfortable for us. Until the Savior wraps his arms around you and says, well done. Welcome home. Suddenly it doesn't matter what you look like or how you feel. See, it's important that we remember the gospel of Jesus as we go through this period. That the reason Jesus came here and died for us is so that we could have forgiveness, so that we could have new life. No matter how bad our lives are, no matter how dirty we are, that Jesus can look at us and say, well done, good and faithful servant. And I don't know about you, but as much as I love things here and love all of you, I can't wait for that day when Jesus will wrap his arms around me and usher me into his kingdom. Amen. Because that'll be a glorious day. So as we move through this Lenten season, prepare your hearts and your life for the coming of our Lord and Savior again. Prepare your hearts and life not just for Easter, but for the marriage feast of the Lamb that will have no end. And what a glorious day that will be. It is in his name and to his glory. Amen. As part of our celebration today as well, we're going to celebrate our leadership here at Our Saviors. So I invite our elders and also our EMB team to come forward at this time as we actually are going to formally install them for this year. We thought that this would be a good day to do it, so come on forward, guys. Can we give them a hand as they come forward, too?